Praise the Lord. We're going to dismiss our children, let them go to their great places of worship. God bless the teachers. God bless the children. It's been so long since I've announced the ages, I forgot. What is it? 4, 5, and 46. The 46 are the ones that are teaching. Praise God. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles with you tonight while you're standing, let's focus on Hebrews chapter 12. And I think I marked 6 through 9. Yeah, I marked that for you and forgot to mark it for myself. Praise the Lord. Now, follow with me closely here tonight because we're going to finish what we started last Tuesday night. And that we're going to be talking about attributes of the spirit of fruit. This is the attribute night. We're going to talk about the attributes of the spirit of fruit. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Amen. Let me say something. Well, the word will say it here in just a moment. If you endure chastening, amen, God's correcting, God dealing with you as if you were his sons and daughters. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Amen. But if you be without chastisement, parents, look at this. Look at this closely. I don't care what modern society says. I want you to focus on this. If you be without chastisement, well, I don't correct my children. I don't spank my children. Well, when your children get just above the teenage years, they'll spank you. You don't believe that, but you just hear what Pastor's saying right now. Amen. And ask people that didn't discipline their children when they were little. That's why there's a place on our anatomy that's thicker than any other place. Because we had to have correction. And if you wait to correct when you're mad, that ain't correction. That's vengeance. In other words, if you're going to correct, correct evenly. I'm talking to the parents. Yes, I am. Amen. Because I am a parent. And I had children, and those children were small. And ask them if they remember those times. Maybe a couple of them they do, but not every one of them for sure. And so, you know, even God has chosen to chastise us. There's been a lot of times in my relationship with God that he's whipped up on me real good. But I'm just telling you, don't wait till you're mad to go off on your children. Because they learn where the line is. Okay, if I do that one more time, they're going to get so mad, they're finally going to whip me, so I'll stop it right here. And so they know how to torment you to the line. Why don't you draw your line way back and say, when I get you home, I'm going to spank you. And when you get home, do it. All the children are cringing, except for the ones out there. Amen. It is nothing, absolutely nothing, but love that chastises children, because if it wasn't love, then God wouldn't chastise his. Amen. And so, if you have any questions about that, I can help you. I can. I got experience. Amen. I can help you with that. Please don't stand out there and say, he don't know what he's talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've lived long enough to see children grow up that were not corrected. And I've lived long enough to see children grow up that were corrected, and I'll compare and show you. I'll give you names if I have to. I'll do whatever I've got to do to help you. Amen. Praise God. They may be humble, and you might be able to count to 20 and finally get them to calm down now. But I'm telling you, when hormones kick in and drugs are going everywhere and they got driver's license and all of this going on and they got him looking at her and her looking at her and there was never any discipline and real close love and association where you spanked them and they cried and then you started crying too. If your children don't have that experience, they need it. And when they grow up, you're going to be their best friend. They'll come to you right out of the blue and hug your neck and say, I love you. Because they feel the love that comes from you at an even skill. Not just when you're mad and furious, but when you know they need it. And you've promised it to them and you kept your promise. I'll never forget my mother. She wasn't much of a disciplinarian and all of that. And I got scars to prove that. But I'm just telling you, somehow my mother wound up breaking her nose. And it was horrific. It was her, you know, it was just her nose was all over her face and stuff. And it was bad. And I did something I knew I could get by with because she was in such pain. I knew she wouldn't whip me. And she said, when my mother called me Kenneth, I was on death row. And she said, Kenneth? And when she called me by my full name, I was in deep trouble. And she said, Kenneth Carson Marshburn, when my nose heals, I will deal with you. And I'm thinking back in my mind, right, she'll forget. Her nose healed. She forgot. My sister reminded her. My sister needed discipline. But if you be without chastisement and discipline, whereof all are partakers, then are you not the children of God and not sons. In other words, that word means you belong to someone else. And if we're not belonging to God, then I'll let you guess who we belong to. Amen. And so let's make our children belong to us. And let's make ourselves belong to God. And let Him correct us even when He's not mad. And let's correct our children even when we're not mad. Does that make sense? Can I tie all that together like that? We'll talk about something else right now because I feel to move on real quick. Praise God. I want you to notice that the word fruit in what we're talking about tonight is singular. And there's only one fruit with all these attributes. I really want you to get that. One fruit, all these attributes. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. And somebody shout, yeah, Lord. God bless you as you're seated just now. Amen. To our guests and visitors, thank you so much for being here tonight. Amen. We're glad you're here. Praise God. There's one fruit with all these nine attributes. And these are the nine things we want to talk about, the spiritual fruit. Amen. There's one tree. Christ is the vine, the Bible tells us. And children of God, believers, Christians are the branches. We're the branches. As there are nine spiritual gifts listed in the primary record in 1 Corinthians 12, there are nine attributes of the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians 5. According to verses 22 and 23, amen. I want us to read that verse, and then we're going to dissect each one of the attributes of the fruits of the Spirit. And so let's look at Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is this. Read it out loud with me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know what that means? That means we can have as much as we want. Isn't that awesome? We can have just as much as we want. So, the first attribute tonight of the fruits of the Spirit is, of course, we just read it, is love. Now, the Greek word used in this passage is agape. Everybody say agape. Agape. Amen. In the Greek language, philia means brotherly love. Philia in Greek is brotherly love. That's what we have toward our brothers and our sisters is philia. Amen. And then eros means a romantic love. Praise God. And then agape means the love of God. The love of God. Romans 5 and 5 reveals that the love of God is shed abroad in the heart of the Christian by the Holy Ghost. And so it means that the love of God has been shed abroad in all of our hearts. That's what the scripture actually says. Amen. The love of God's been shed abroad in all our hearts. And so everybody say, all of our hearts. Amen. So it doesn't matter who you are, how you were raised, you can have the love of God radiating from your heart as a child of God. Amen. So this is a spiritual fruit in production. It's something that must be produced. And agape love, the love of God, must be produced so we can show forth that particular attribute of the fruit. This love is not conditional, but it can be tough. Because the Bible says, whom he loves, he chastens. Amen. Now, you got to tell me that from the very beginning, the Lord loved Simon Peter. Because many of you, if not all of you, know for a fact that this is the man the Lord used to preach the first message to the beginning of the church. Can you imagine the honor? There will never, ever be another preacher that gets to preach the first apostolic message. That man was chosen to do that. And just a few weeks before that, the Lord said, you're of your father, the devil. Read it. Read it. Because he knew, the Lord knew, that before this man is designed and can step up to the plate to deliver the word, like he's going to deliver the word. And I got to work on some stuff. I got to fix some things. And so what does the father do? He instantly begins to work on the child. And there's chastisement there. It's not just giftings. It's not just gifting. Do this and I'll give you a brownie. Do this and I'll give you a star today. Do this and you get a... No, do this and you won't get a little bit of, you know what. Amen. And you've heard me. Amen. And I mean this. I mean this. Never, ever slap a child in the face. Because nature's provided a better place. Amen. I read that somewhere years ago and I liked it. Amen. And so, and I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about breaking their legs and things like that. Praise God. But so the Lord knew there had to be some developmental stages that's got to take place in this man, because I'm going to use him to launch the church of the living God. And it will be what this man says until the coming of the Lord, and the gospel will not change. This is the man I've chosen, and so I've got to develop this. I've got to chastise this. I've got to whip up on this. I've got to bless this. I've got to heal this. I've got to mend this. I got to work with this. And so that's agape love. That's the love of God. And you were and I were filled with that the moment we received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because remember, amen, hallelujah, the fruit is singular. And so every attribute that we're talking about comes from God. Hallelujah. Because there's only one God. Amen. And so this love, it's not conditional, but it can be tough. Amen. The Lord loves everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. So the carnal man cannot ever love the way that God loves. Therefore, the only way to have this attribute of agape love in our lives is for the individual to stay on their knees until Jesus Christ is formed in us. Amen. And then there's joy. This is joy from Jesus Christ, and it's expressed through the child of God. Everybody shout joy. You can't give what you do not have. And so if you don't have joy, You're going to spread what you have. And I'm not sure what you have if you don't have joy. But if you've got joy, then you're going to give joy. And so if you're having a struggle with joy, you get your joy so you can give joy to everyone else. I'm telling you, a little bit of joy goes a long way. A little bit of hope and a little bit of help and a little bit of faith and a little bit of belief, a little bit of trust, all these things can go a very, very long way. It only takes an instant. It only takes a moment for the devil to stir up little things and to cause the negative to begin, and then it gets bigger and bigger, and then it blows up and everybody's harmed because of it. I'm just simply saying a little bit of joy can go a long way. And so let's get this joy. You know, what does the song say? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Since the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Praise God. And so this doesn't mean that you're always going to be giggly and you're always going to feel like you're at a party. Joy is a state of the heart. You can know joy when you can't pay your bills. You can know joy when you're sick. Some of the greatest times that I praised the Lord was when I literally didn't know if I was going to wake up again the next morning in the hospital. I took advantage of the moment that I was still alive and just worshiped God. I don't have to feel good to feel joy. Joy is something that God gave me when He gave me the Holy Ghost. And so no matter what condition this body is in, I can still know the joy of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And so joy is it's a condition of the heart. It's not a reaction to circumstances. Amen. Anybody know anybody that when something bad happens, you got to instantly jump them and calm them down? Oh, Lord. It's going to be bad when they find out about it. It's going to be, I don't know how they're going to respond. Oh, Lord. But the next time, if you responded like, you know what? God gives, God takes away. The Lord blesses, the rain falls on the just and the unjust at the same time. I know this, if the devil brought me to it, God's going to take me through it. Man, if you were to respond that way and surprise them, then they would have a different attitude about you. They'd have a different attitude about me or anyone else. Amen, because a little bit of joy goes a long, long way. And what is the joy anyway? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. All right, and then there's peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Philippians 4:7 speaks of peace that passes all understanding. We don't have to go there because that's exactly what it says. Amen. It's peace that passes all understanding. Amen. This attribute of the fruit of the Spirit, everybody needs this desperately because this is a soul winner's attribute. You say, how can my peace be a soul winner to somebody else? Because your family knows what you're going through. A lot of your coworkers probably know what you face and what you go through. And when you come in there with a smile on your face anyhow, they don't understand that. They don't get it. One of them somewhere in there could have caused it. And you don't know it. And there you are with this complex situation going on in your life, and yet here you come bouncing in, still smiling and laughing, and talking about Sunday night service. They don't get that. The world cannot comprehend or understand that. And because of that, they want to know. And when they want to know, they're going to ask you. And when they're going to ask you, you're going to tell them where your peace came from. That it doesn't come because I'm warm and comfy. It didn't come because I got money in my pocket. It came because one night I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it's a peace. The Word of God says it's a peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Through the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the believer can have peace in their heart. A person who is not at peace with himself is at peace with absolutely no one. So come to peace with yourself so that others can have peace as well. Everybody shout, peace. Cool. Number four, long-suffering. Amen. Long-suffering. Now, the Greek word translated long-suffering means patience. Yeah. Hallelujah. Lord, I want patience, and I want it right now. That might not be the way it happens. Amen. This is a little something somebody else said, and I believe it was yours truly. I was cutting up with somebody, and I said, you know, the Bible says you got to have patience. I said, but what if you're not a doctor? Well, that might not be what it means. Amen. Amen. We've got to learn how to wait on the things of life. We've got to learn how to wait on God. And we've just got to learn to be patient. Praise God. Long-suffering means patience. It means also endurance. It means steadfastness, perseverance. You can understand what persevere means by dissecting the word. God gives one the gift of grace. Amen. Persevere. Amen. You're going to continue when things get severe. That's perseverance. You're the person, and so you're the one that's got to come up with this perseverance, even when situations are severe. Praise God. All things change. If it's bad, it will get better. I promise you that. And when we pray, our prayers get answered. And when we have a need, God makes a way. But sometimes we're just going to have to persevere. Praise God. Amen. And so, and then there's number five, there's gentleness. Amen. All of us can use a little more gentleness. In the original text, this refers to moral goodness and moral integrity. Hallelujah. And the kindness a person of this nature is certain to exhibit. A person is kind, they're gentle, and they're moral. Amen. Praise God. They're not degrading, and they don't have to make you small so they can be big. They don't have to talk about you to someone else to make them their friend. And then come to you and talk about them to make you their friend. Amen. But they're moral. Praise God. They're gentle. Amen. I love being with people like that. I know several pastors across the nation that are like that. When I get to go preach for them, I just rub elbows with them and want to spend time with them because they're so gentle and they're so kind and they're just... It's like every word they're sharing, and every word they're caring, and they're considerate. Don't you like to be with people like that? Let's be people like that. Let's be people like that. Very gentle, very kind. Amen. And so it's a virtue sometimes that is absolutely overlooked, especially in the masculine nature. You know, we want to be the big kid on the block, and we'll beat anybody else up to get there. Amen. But after you do that, where's the trophy? Where's the first place ribbon? All you've done is made a bunch of enemies and made your island smaller. And so it is. Gentleness is a virtue. Praise God. And there's nothing weak about gentleness. Now, I do believe men have a problem with being gentle sometimes. It could be why most of the word gentleness is gentleman. Amen. And so, let's be kind. Let's be gentle. I'm not asking you to be effeminate. Lord knows we don't need any more of that. There's enough girls for that. We can be men and still be gentle. Praise God. All right, number six. Somebody shout, goodness. Amen. We need some goodness. These are all attributes of spiritual fruit that are actually in the Word of God that the Lord wants us to adopt. All of these spiritual attributes of fruit come from the very same tree, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're to produce these branches in our relationship with God. Amen. And goodness is one of them. While gentleness has to do with one's treatment of others, goodness is more of an expression of our character. Amen. Amen. You have to be gentle to someone else for to be labeled a gentleman or someone that is gentle. Amen. But if you want to be labeled as good, then you've got to develop the character of goodness. And that's something that we have to do for ourselves. Amen. I want people to say, that's a good man right there. Amen. I love pointing out people, just as I've done already in this Bible study. I could name names, people in here, people out there across the nation, pastors and pastors' wives and different ones. And I said, that's a good person right there. Amen. And you can too. But I want it to go so deep until when you look in the mirror, you're able to say, that's a good person right there. Notice I didn't put looking. Let others tell you you're good looking. Oh, I don't want to get in trouble tonight, but there's a funny bone here. Amen. Gentleness has to do with one's treatment of others. Goodness is more of an expression of your personal character. It simply refers to your uprightness of your heart. Amen. Amen. A good heart. A good heart will produce goodness. Remember, these are not separate fruits, but various attributes of one fruit. Amen. Jesus Christ. So it's not always possible to completely distinguish them. Indeed, it's not desirable to distinguish them. Praise God. And in other words, you can't go around saying, I got love, but I ain't got no goodness. I got me a whole bunch of goodness, but I ain't got none of that long-suffering stuff. You've got to have it all. In other words, to do and live without one means that there's a big bite out of that one individual thing. Because all of these together produce the fruit. Amen? All right, so let's look at faith. Faith, just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot, just use what you got. Faith, just a little bit of faith. While the gift of faith refers to miracles, working, and belief, the fruit attribute called faith refers to faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. Amen. If you're full of faith, then you're going to be faithful. One cannot be full of faith without being faithful. So no matter how many mountains you move with your faith, I'm just telling you right here, right now, it don't matter to God. There will be people that will stand before him and say, wait a minute, Lord, you just cast us in hell, and we have healed, we have opened blind eyes, and he will still say, depart from me, I know you not. Because they may have been full of faith, but they might not have been faithful. And so we've got to be faithful and full of faith. Amen. And that is the fruit, part of the fruit. Amen. Having faith. Not just faith for blinded eyes to be opened and the dead to be raised up. Amen. And crooked limbs to be put back together. That's awesome stuff. I love that. I would to God that everybody I prayed for was healed. But there's something else I got to pray for too in my private place. And that is that God will continue to make me faithful. Amen. You can't be full of faith without being faithful. So if he's not dependable, he is of no benefit to God or anyone else, the individual that is not faithful. Amen. Praise God. And then number 8, we're looking at meekness. I want you to understand something about meekness. It's not a W turned upside down. It is not weakness. The Bible said the meek shall inhabit the earth. It did not say the weak. So it's going to take a strong individual to get ourselves and our families out of this world and into heaven. But at the same time, it's going to have to take a meek individual. Amen. Another word for meekness is mildness. And if this was written in our day, it probably would have said in the Word of God, you got to know how to chill out. Amen. Praise God. And so, you know, before we go off and bite heads off, let's develop a little meekness. Amen. It's not to be confused with cowardice or weakness. For some of the world's meekest people have been the boldest people. Humility is a character trait of the meek who, according to Jesus, are going to inherit the earth. Again, Matthew 5 and 5, the meek will inherit the earth. Amen. And so let us develop a big, fat portion of meekness. Praise God. And then number 9, somebody say temperance. That is not a little girl's name. That is a characteristic that we should adopt, because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. In defining this word, Strong's exhaustive concordance uses the following phrase: the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions. Amen. Especially when it comes to sensuality, sensual appetites. It basically means self-control. Now, every one of you are human. I know you are. I know you. There's not a Cabbage Patch baby out there. We're all human. And these are things and attributes that we fight and struggle with. But we win because we have, again, the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're winners. We're winners in this thing. Amen. And so we can develop all of these specific areas that maintain the perfect fruit of a child of God. Amen. And so Paul said, it's one who strives for the mastery, and temperance is one of these things. Amen. Praise God. Brother Jeremy Tyre sets the air. He has set the thermostats. We don't dilly-daddle with these things. It's set. It comes on a certain time of the week, and it goes off at a certain time. After we're all gone, the lights are off, that thing is going to hit a certain time and it's going to go off. And so he has set the temperature. Most of the word temperature is temperance. And so we need to understand that's what God wants. He wants to be able to set your temperament and for it to be right there. Amen. That doesn't mean you can't get excited. Doesn't mean you're not going to weep and cry. It doesn't mean he don't want robots. But he wants people with temperance. He wants people that don't go overboard and don't stay underboard. But people that are just balanced and just level. Amen. And he wants to be able to set that. And so that he can know that what you are today is what you're going to be tomorrow, and what you're going to be next year and the year following if he tarries. That's what he wants. How many of you agree with me that the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? You better believe it, because that's the Word of God. Well, what's wrong with Joe Cool being the same yesterday, today, and forever? What's wrong with you being the same yesterday, today, and forever? Instead of people wondering, I wonder what kind of mood they're going to be in today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I will tell you, a little bit of love goes a long way, and that helps anybody with their mood. But when somebody's sharing it with you, take a little time to share it with someone else. Let's stand together. Praise God. Amen. There's no law, the Bible said. Against such there is no law. Amen. Against these spiritual traits. In other words, you can have just as much as you want. If each person would let the fruit of the Spirit radiate in their life, there would be no more need for law. Paul talked about it all through Corinthians and all of that. Law, the law, the law. We're not bound by the law. Why are we not bound by the law? Because we have We have adopted the attributes of Christ. And so we're not going to murder anybody. We're not going to kill people. We're not going to hate people. We're not going to, the law doesn't apply to us because we don't live by that kind of law anymore. We're out there seeing how good we could be to people. We're out there to see how many people we could win to God. We're out there to see how much we can worship God, how much we can satisfy and gratify God's need in us for holiness, righteousness, and good things. Amen. But the real meaning against such, no one can receive an accusation. Amen. It is hard to bring accusation against a person who exhibits attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. So what do? We adopt and we adapt. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Praise God. Amen. How many of you would like to have all these attributes? I know I would. Amen. God's working on a building. Not just that one across the parking lot, but He's working on this one too. And He's working on all of these out here. Let's just ask Him to continue His work, and we will gladly receive it. Master, in the name of Jesus, I pray Your blessings upon these wonderful people, this great church, every young couple, every child, every baby, every single individual, Lord, our elderly, whoever is here right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would bless us with a deep hunger and a deep thirst for the attributes of the fruits of the Spirit so that we can be more like You in this world today. And everybody shouted in Jesus' name, amen. God richly bless you and thank you for being here for the Word of God tonight.